السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر، إن شانئك هو الأبتر. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers and all our sisters who listen over receivers. Some time back, 2 or 3 years ago, I think, very briefly we discussed Suratul Kawthar. But since we are once again very close to Eidul Adha, the days of Qurbani, and the Hujjaj have proceeded to Makkatul Mukarrama, very soon they will be leaving for Mina and then Arafat and Muzdalifah, performing their Hajj. So as I mentioned last night also, that these days our heart draws towards Makkatul Mukarrama, Madina Tayyiba. The life of Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his seerah, his sacrifices, Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam's akhlaq, his character, his behavior, his etiquette, his dealings, everything comes in front of us. The Gumbad-e-Khazra, the Green Dome, the Masjid of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the Riyazul Jannah, the mountains of Uhud, everything comes before a Muslim's eyes. In his imagination, he imagines so many things during these Mubarak days. So this surah, Suratul Kawthar, is also a reminder of a period of time that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was going through. A time of attacks, criticism, mockery, ridicule, teasing, all kinds of labels and titles being attached to him, called Majnoon, madman, na'uzubillah, or indulging in witchcraft, or the one who is a poet, or the person who has forsaken his deen and his religion. He has created division in the society. He has separated father from son, or mother from daughter, because someone accepted Islam and someone did not accept Islam. So all kinds of labels were given to him. And it so happened that at that time, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, who had borne him 2 sons, Qasim and Abdullah, whose titles were Tahir and Tayyib, so they passed away one after the other. Now this gave Abu Jahl and Asib ibn Wail and many others a kind of ammunition to attack Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's progeny will be cut off. No male issues of his, no male children of his are surviving. So this is a very clear indication that his deen also will not survive. Very soon that deen will also die as his sons passed away. So before we come to that, this surah Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala revealed as a way of consolation to Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very, very small surah, the shortest surah of the Holy Quran Sharif. It has only 3 ayat. And that is why it is said that in a salat, if a person recites 3 ayat, then his salat is valid. So if a person recites to the equivalent of Inna A'tayna Kal-Kawthar, this complete surah, then we say salat is valid. So it is the shortest surah of the Quran Sharif. Only 3 ayat. It has 10 words and 37 letters of the alphabet. Such a short surah. But in meaning, it is an ocean. The meaning, there's so much of meaning in this Suratul Kawthar that we can go on and on for days and days, months and months. A person cannot reach the depths. That is the balaghat of the Quran Sharif. All the orators of the time, the great poets of the time, everyone that was claiming to be a master of the Arabic language at that time, and the language of the Arabs was Arabic. So together with that, they were also orators, they were poets of excellence. But they could not bring a surah like that of the Quran Sharif equivalent to Suratul Kawthar. The challenge of the Quran Sharif was bring all your helpers together, jinn and ins, everyone. قُلْ لَوِجْتَمَعَتِ الْإِنسُ وَالْجِنُ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لَا يَأْتُونَ بِمِثْلِهِ وَلَوْ كَانَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ زَهِيرًا. So even if they brought all the helpers of jinn and mankind, but they couldn't produce a surah like that of the Quran Sharif. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala challenged them. And we cannot say that this challenge was not taken up. What kind of people were they who were prepared to challenge everything, and they were not prepared to accept a challenge of this sort, that bring one surah equivalent to a surah of the Quran Sharif. And on one occasion this Suratul Kawthar was hung up on the Kaaba Sharif. All the poets and orators of the time, they looked at the Suratul Kawthar, they were dumbfounded, and at the end of it they wrote there that this is not the qawl of Bashar. It is not human kalam. It is not the word of man. Just that Suratul Kawthar. So they understood. What can we understand? They who were kuffar, disbelievers, but they understood what this surah really meant. The depth of the surah. So in this short surah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives consolation to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Inna a'twayna kal kawthar. Now we generally know that Kawthar is the fountain of Kawthar. Indeed, the fountain of Kawthar is also one of the meanings. But Kawthar, the literal meaning is abundant khair, abundant goodness. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is given assurance, he is given consolation, he is given the glad tiding that, oh my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, why are you concerned? Let them say what they wish to say. They will blow the hot air. Let them say what they wish to say. But I have given you, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, we have given you Kawthar, abundant khair. Different meanings have been given. Besides the fountain of Kawthar, the fountain of Kawthar has been described in the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Putting all the different ahadith together of Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif and others, we come to the conclusion that it is a fountain which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will be given exclusively. It is a great gift of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for the sake of his ummah. That the cups will be equivalent to that of the stars that twinkle in the heavens, or more than that. The drink of Kawthar, it will be sweeter than honey, whiter than milk, cooler than ice. On that day when people will be perspiring because of their sins, perspiration, some people will have perspiration like a pool around them, up to the ankles, some up to the knees, some up to their throats, and for some it will be as if they are drowning in it. At that time, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give to the ummatis of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, through the mubarak hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jame Kawthar. And once they drink that, then they will never feel thirsty again on the day of judgment. However, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam has given warning also, that some people will be coming, and then they will be turned around and taken in the direction of Jahannam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will say, but these are my ummatis. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will be informed, yes, they were your ummatis, but you don't know what damage they did to your deen after you left. What they did to your deen, how much of things they introduced into deen, they considered as deen that which was not deen. Therefore, we have to be very, very careful. There are many ma'mulats of our mashayikh. There are many things our mashayikh have given as ma'mulat. They read this tasbih so many times, make your zikr in a certain manner, shake your head in this way, stand up or sit down, whatever they have said. Or in the same way the jamaat work of tabligh, that so 2 gashts a week, and talim in the masjid and talim at home, and go out for 4 months and 3 months and 6 months, and then have shab guzari. All the works of the khanqa, all the works of our organizations and institutions, so many different works of deen which are taking place through different methods, then that method we must not consider as deen if it is not part of deen. We can say that as experience, the mashayikh have experienced that if a person spends his time in this manner, then he will get the love of deen in his heart and he will get the desire to bring the whole of deen in his life. But we cannot say that that is Quran and Sunnah. That is where all the argument starts and all the quarrels begin. That each person says, my work is the only work. Because we consider that method to be farz or wajib. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that if you're going to do that, then on Qiyamah day the person will be chased away from the house. Because the person introduced bidat, and that is bidat. That which is not deen we consider to be deen. So there's nothing wrong with the khanqas in which the person is sitting making zikr or illallah or learning deen and reading the kitabs of akhlaq and muamlat and muasharat. In the same way, if he's going out in the jamaat or spending a few days or making shab guzari, or the person has got some kind of institution where they've got a 7-year course to become an alim of deen, that you must read Bukhari Sharif, Tirmizi Sharif, Muslim Sharif, that you must go through that course, where there are conditions stipulated for admission in our Darul Ulooms or in our Madaris, in our schools, in our colleges, in our institutions, where there are timetables, where there are so many other things. Now all these things are just for the sake of intizam, to make things easy, to make things smooth. It is for the sake of arrangement. Otherwise there will be chaos. Like we've got time fixed for our nazan and time fixed for our namaz. Now the time of Zuhur is right from the time of Zawal up till the time of Asr. But why have we got times fixed? Because of convenience, that the people come to know that this part of the time Jamaat will take place. Or in our masajid we've got so many different things. Now all these things we must not consider it as farz and wajib, that is the only method, there is no other method. The Quran Sharif and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whatever he teaches us, then that is farz, that whatever it says is farz. What is considered as wajib from there is wajib, and what is sunnat is sunnat. We must not raise the status of anything above that which it is. And this is a danger in our times. And if somebody has to explain, then we get annoyed. If somebody has to tell me that this Thursday night zikr, where do you find it in the Quran and Sunnah? And if somebody is considering it as farz and wajib, and he's arguing with people, why don't you attend? And if you are not attending, then you are sinful. Then we will say that that person has introduced a bidah. He must not consider it farz. He must not consider it wajib. He must think that it's a means of creating in the heart some love of deen and the Quran and Sunnah, and of bringing akhlaq and muamlat and of giving up of sins and making tawbah. The same with the jamaat and with everybody else. That whatever is not Quran and Sunnah, because we will never find this kind of thing in the Quran and Sunnah. Show me one institution in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam where there were rules and for admission at the institution, that you must be so many years of age, and then your course will be for so many years, there will be a syllabus, then there will be examinations, quarter yearly, half yearly, annually, then there will be graduation, after that you will be considered to be qualified. Do we have one institution like that? So that is just like how a doctor, when he is dispensing medicine, then we don't ask the doctor that give me some hadith to say that you must take this medication 3 times a day. Now if I tell the doctor that show me one hadith, otherwise I'm not going to take this medication. You must show me a hadith that I must take dilatrin, dimecrin and all these other tablets so many times a day. Show me one hadith sharif. So the doctor will say, go and have your head examined. Because that is the experience of the doctor, that if you have to take that medication so many times, it will benefit you. So in the same way, all these things have been introduced for that reason. So we must not consider the method as deen. That is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam refers to, that they will be brought and they will be chased away, because they considered that method as deen and began fighting amongst themselves. So he says, the damage that they have done to your deen. So this Kausar, one is that fountain which will be on the day of Qiyamah. But the literal meaning is abundant khair. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was made Khatamun Nabiyyin. He was made the seal of all prophets. He was the last of all messengers. He was the greatest after Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Ba'das khuda buzruktu ye qissa mukhtasar. So what khair kaseer Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave him? He said, we have given you abundant khair. And we made you the last and the final messenger. And then your nubuwat also is unlike the nubuwat and the prophethood of the prophets of the past, that some of them were just given one locality, one community, one area, one country. Here your nubuwat extends over jinn and man until the day of Qiyamah. كَافَّةَ لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا. So abundant khair we have given to you. Then via Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that abundant khair comes to his ummah also. إِنَّا عَطَوَيْنَا كَالْكَوْثَرِ. Iman itself is abundant khair. Then Islam, abundant khair. So much of khair in Islam. There's nothing but goodness. Then the Quran Sharif, from whichever angle you look at it, it is nothing but khair. Then if you look at the ummatis of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, great, great sahaba-e-kiram, awliya-e-kiram, mashayikh-e-izam, ulama-e-haq, great, great learned awliya-e-siddiqeen. Now all these people, the amount that you get or the numbers that you get in the ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, you don't get in any other ummat. Then maqam-e-mahmood, which is a very, very high stage in the akhirah. Now that has been promised to none other than Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. No one can enter into Jannat without the shafaat, which will commence with the shafaat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam is given the assurance that you don't have to worry if these people are saying that your progeny is cut off, because that's what they said. Inna shani akahul abta. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said, these people who are criticizing you, mocking you, teasing you, laughing at you, and they are ridiculing you, and they are saying that your progeny will be cut off because your male children are passing away, and your deen will never survive and never exist, then why are you concerned about that? There's no time to go into detailed tafsir, whatever is coming to mind, I'm just mentioning. So why do you have to worry about that? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give you spiritual sons. You talking about biological children, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give you spiritual sons and spiritual daughters. And they will be by the millions. And your deen will not only survive, it will spread throughout the world. And then a time will come when there will be nobody on the earth. There will be nobody surviving on earth. A time will come when, whether it is on land or on sea, whether the person is on a boat, whether he's in an aeroplane, whether he's in a hut, whether he's in a shack, or whether he's in a building or in a palace, the time will come when there'll be only believers in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The disbelievers will either be wiped off, or they will accept Islam. After that again, the signs of Qiyamah will begin. But the fact is that the time will come that everybody will be your spiritual son and your spiritual daughter. And they will be promoting your deen, they'll be propagating your deen, they will be defending your deen. So let them say what they wish to say. If your two children passed away, there are male issues, and these people are saying that that is a clear indication that your deen will die a natural death. So that is just their speculation. You don't have to be concerned about that. Your deen will not only survive, it will spread throughout the world. And we saw in Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam time, Arabia, the whole of Arabia, everybody was a believer. And after that Islam spread. And in his time it had already come to Africa and gone to so many other places. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is given the assurance. So that is another inna a'tayna kal kawthar. Now just to cut it short in the next few minutes. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told that when we have made so much of ihsan upon you, we have made so much of ihsan, we have shown so much of our favors upon you. Look at the kawthar that we give. The kawthar in the akhirat, the fountain. And besides that, all the khair kaseer, all the goodness that have been given to you. Everywhere in the world, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's name is being taken. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's whole system is such, with regards to the five daily salat, that some way or the other somebody is saying, Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Or somebody in his salat is reading tashahud and he is saying, Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Or somebody is saying, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Or the Durood Sharif, Durood Ibrahim, which we read in our Salat. Or the thousands of times that people are reading Durood and Salam around the globe. And at the Rosa Mubarak itself, the hundreds of thousands of angels that are visiting Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Rosa Mubarak. 70,000 every day they come there. They read Salat and Salam. And they don't get another opportunity of coming back to say Salat and Salam. So how much of khair Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given? Inna a'tayna kal kawthar. So then what should you be doing? The more the ni'mat, the more the gifts, the more the favors of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the more gratitude we have to show. If a father has been very kind, very generous, very charitable, very good, very loving, very caring, very compassionate, very merciful, then that child has to be even more obedient. because his father is not an abuser. His father is not one who is swearing, cursing, kicking, booting. That father is not one who is depriving him of education, of akhlaq, of character. So that child has to be even more obedient. The more the ihsan any person does, any father does, any mother does, the more obedient the child should be. So if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has been so kind, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has blessed with so much of ni'mat, so much of bounty, so much of generosity Allah ta'ala has shown, and especially us, in spite of all our sins, day and night, what we do, with the same ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Let Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala take away the sight, and then see if that person can watch the porn sites of the internet. If Allah ta'ala takes away the sight, then can he watch the porn sites on the internet? Can he watch the filthy movies? Can he then satisfy his eyes and the lust of his heart by watching those dances and all the other filthy programs? So it is Allah Ta'ala's ni'mat. In spite of all his ni'mats, all his gifts upon us, we know what we do with those gifts. So the more the bounties, now in this surah Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is giving one paigham, and the other is what we term as the nizam. That one is the paigham, the message, that we have shown so much of favors upon you. This is what we have done. Inna atoina kal kawthar. That is the paigham. So now what should be the program? The program should be fasalli li rabbika wanhar. Turn towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in prayer. Make your salat. At least the minimum that a Muslim should be doing, the minimum, is 5 times salat. Now look at our lives. Let us be very honest. All of us who talk a lot about deen, about sharia, about the Quran, about the sunnah, and we are organizing programs for the youth and for the adults and for the children and for everyone, and we are very concerned about the deen of Allah Ta'ala spreading throughout the world. And after those programs which finish up past midnight, how many people make the Fajr Salat? How many of those people make the Fajr Salat? How many of the organizers make the Fajr Salat? How many of those people who were showing so much of concern and interest that our youth must bring deen into their lives, after that they've got deen in their lives? So let us not fool anybody else. We are fooling ourselves. Let us be committed that salat has to come first in our lives. Then only it will come into the lives of our children and the youth and everyone else that we want to bring it into. If we are going to display that kind of heedlessness, if we are going to show no concern for our salat, where will our children show concern for their salat? There was a program in one place. Thousands of people marched for Palestine. One brother of ours from here also was down in Cape Town at that time. I shouldn't have mentioned the name, but in any case, so he was there. So I say the whole family, the wife, the daughters, the children, everybody was on the street, and they were shouting slogans. From the morning they were there, from 11 till up in the evening. And the program was being broadcast, and everybody was very excited that look at the unity of the Muslims. Thousands of people have been on the streets marching. But he says, in that home, I spent 3 days there because he was a rep. He was down there. He said, for the 3 days, it was like an effort to tell them that it's time for salat. Let's go. The masjid was just 2 doors away. Now that is our work. We must not just look at them. That is the weakness maybe of one family. But what I am getting at is that how will Allah Ta'ala's rahmat come when we cannot seem to bring those things into our own lives? So, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ. For your Rabb, now what must you do? You make salat. Salat has got a very wide meaning also. Wide implication, besides the 5 times salat. In other words, complete humility. So just salat has been taken because that brings a person down to the ground. In sajda, our forehead is on the ground. So complete submission to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And then what should really have happened after all those favors is that we should have given our lives. Like how Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam submitted himself and said, put the knife over my throat. Satajiduni insha'Allahu minas sabirin. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's favors being unlimited. So that is what all of us should have done. That we should have given our lives. Or taken the lives of our sons, our children. But Allah ta'ala did not want to do that. So he gave us a replacement, an alternative, a substitute. That okay, you cannot give your life, then sacrifice one animal. And that animal sacrifice now must give you a lesson. That you are not putting the knife only on the throat of that animal, that knife must be put on the throat of your evil desires. The evil desires that arise in our hearts, then place the knife on the throat of those evil desires. And there must be submission, like how the animal submits itself totally. The skin, the meat, the bones, everything it says it's yours. Like that we say, Ya Allah, my life, my soul, my body, my wealth, everything, Ya Allah, is for you. Now I will use it as pleases you. I will use it as pleases Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then that is when we have taken a lesson. So in this small surah there's so much, but the time is expired. I make dua that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you and the ummah the tawfiq of amal. Amal se banti hai zindagi, ye jannat bhi, jahannam bhi, ye khaki apni fitrat mein na nuri hai, na nari hai. May Allah ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems of the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And may Allah ta'ala make the hajj easy and asan for each and everyone that has gone there. Make it maqbool, mabroor. And accept their du'as, tawaf, ziyarat, ibadat, mina, arafat, muzdalifah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.